Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, local minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight we're having a very special programme in the sense that I have with me my wife Patricia. We both occasionally write sketches for use in public worship, so I thought it would be nice to share with you some of these sketches. So welcome tonight, Patricia.
Thank you.
How are you?
I am very well, thanks, and I'm looking forward to this, to being a wee double act with you.
Yeah, let's make a wee drama out of a crisis, right?
Excellent.
So let's try our first sketch. We thought we'd start with a nice romantic one, entitled How to Say I Love You. I've been trying all week to tell my wife that I love her, but without any success.
I've been trying all week to tell my husband that I love him, but without any success.
I thought I'd buy her some flowers, but the local post office doesn't sell flowers.
I thought I'd buy him a nice card, but none of the cards quite said what I wanted to say.
I wondered about buying her some chocolates, but that would just be temptation when she's dieting.
I wondered about buying him a lovely tie, but that's no use to a man who wears his shirts backwards.
I had the bright idea of telephoning our own house, but every time I rang it was engaged.
I had the bright idea of sending a fax, but then I remembered we don't have one.
I wanted to sing a romantic love song, but I can't sing.
I wanted to draw a picture showing my love, but I can't draw.
I thought about waving flags, but we don't have any flags.
I thought about sending smoke signals like Red Indians, but we don't have a coal fire.
I even considered beating African jungle drums. But then I thought that the neighbours would object.
I considered ringing the church bells, but then that would have brought everybody to church on Tuesday.
I tried Morse code, but the only letters I can spell are SOS.
I tried using a carrier pigeon, but that's one do that didn't work.
So how can I tell my wife that I love her?
So how can I tell my husband that I love him?
I love you, Patricia. I also want to tell people that Jesus loves them. How can I possibly do that?
When God tried to tell us that he loves us, he wrote the Bible. He sent prophets and priests and preachers and parents. But more than words, he came himself as Jesus and showed by living, suffering, dying and rising again for us his love for us.
So spread the good news and do it in word and in action. Now, here's a romantic piece of music to go with it. One of our favourite pieces, Lady in Red by Chris de Burgh.
Cheek to cheek. shine so bright. You were amazing. Never seen so many people want to be there by your side. And when you turn to me and smile, you took my breath away. I have never had such a feeling of complete and utter love as I do tonight, lady.
So romantic, wasn't it?
Oh, wonderful.
Now, a couple of quick sketches on the theme of the importance of questions in life. Kids are great at asking questions, like the following. Imagine a wee boy at the zoo with his mum. I'll go the wee boy, eh?
I think I might be better.
Mum, why is a kangaroo called a kangaroo?
Oh, I don't know, son. You've got me there.
Mum, why is a rhinoceros called a rhinoceros?
Sorry, son, I haven't a clue.
Mum, why is a hippopotamus called a hippopotamus?
I don't know, son, I've never thought about that before.
Mum, do you mind me asking you all these questions?
Oh, no, son, you have to ask questions. How else will you ever learn?
Here's another one, child and mother. Mum,
what is it, dear?
What are you doing?
I'm washing the dishes.
Why?
Because they are dirty.
What's that white stuff?
Well, that's soapy bubbles, dear.
What are they for?
To help clean the dishes.
Why are your hands so soft?
Because I used blue and white striped washing up liquid.
Why do you use blue and white striped washing up liquid?
Because, my son, it's the cheapest.
But why?
So I can save money.
Why?
So I can buy lots of chewing gum.
Why chewing gum?
So I can chew to soothe my nerves and cope with little boys like you who ask lots and lots of questions.
But why?
Oh, ask your father.
You get the drift. Here's a song full of questions by Katie Melua.
Okay, if it's a white man's racism that made him that way, 'cause the bully is the victim, they say. By some sense, they're all the same, 'cause the line between wrong from a spider's web. The piano keys are black and white, but they sound like a million colors in your mind. sent you to fight. 'Cause the line between wrong and right is the width of a thread from a spider's web. The piano keys are black and white, but they sound like a million colors in your mind. Should we act or not play? Or should we chase the moments away? Should we live? Should we give? Remember forever the guns and
now for something completely different. Here's the call of Moses. So somebody'll have to go God and somebody'll have to go Moses.
Well, you're the man. I suppose you have to be Moses, so I get to be God, I think.
Okay then. What's new? What's that crackling sound? What's that smell? Where's the smoke coming from? Oh, it's that bush over there. That's funny. It keeps on burning. When's it going to stop?
Oi!
Eh?
Yes, you, Moses.
Who, me?
Just stop right where you are. Don't move. You're standing on holy ground.
Phew, that's a relief. I thought it was landmines or something dangerous.
Take off your sandals. Show some respect.
Okay, okay, if I must. I must be getting daft in my old age. I'm out here in the wilderness on my own, surrounded by silly sheep, getting excited over a bush, and now taking my sandals off because I'm starting to hear a voice in my head.
I'm not in your head.
I shall ignore that remark. They say you're not really going crazy just because you hear voices in your head. It's only when you start replying back to them that you're going loopy.
You are not going doolally, son. And as I said, I am not in your head.
So to whom do I owe the pleasure then?
I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob.
Aye, right.
No kidding.
Seriously?
Right on, man, the very one.
Gulp.
Don't panic, Mr. Moses, but see here. I have seen my people's predicament and pain. I've heard their cries of agony. I know they are suffering, and enough is enough. I've decided to sort it out. I'm going to bash a few heads together, kick some butt, and save their skin.
Good on you. Sock it to them. You sort them out.
So I'm sending you, Moses, to the Pharaoh of Egypt so that you can lead my people out of slavery into freedom and the promised land. For I have a dream.
Hold on a minute. Me? What's it got to do with me? I thought you had a dream. I don't like the sound of this. Your dream's starting to sound like my nightmare.
I need somebody, namely you, my boy, to speak to Pharaoh face to face. Man to man, as they say. So come on. Are you a man or a mouse?
Well, that's a tricky question, really. At the moment, all things considered, on balance, I'm sort of coming down more on the side of mouse. Well, get real. Who am I? I'm nobody. Just a guy minding my own sheep. Not even mine. My father-in-law Jethro's sheep, actually. But just your regular run-of-the-mill Joe Bloggs, Mr. Average, man in the street, or wilderness in this case. An average punter, without a scooby.
So I've noticed.
So how on earth could I go to the Pharaoh and say, "Excuse me, O Great One, would you mind awfully if I take away all your Hebrew slaves? It'll just be forever. I'm sure you'll manage to make your own bricks without straw and get by without all your mod cons. My life wouldn't be worth living. No chance. No way, Jose."
"Dear Drooper, what a party pooper. Have you no faith at all? I'll be with you. It is Pharaoh who is up the creek without a paddle. He's no match for me. The game's a foregone conclusion. All you have to do is turn up. And after the final whistle, I'll meet you all back here for the post-match hospitality and analysis, and you will be free to sing my praises and admit, I was right and I told you so."
But wait a minute. If I go to the Israelites and say to them, "By the way, the God of your ancestors sent me to you, you know, the guy your granny goes to church to pray to," they're going to say to me, "Who's that then? What's his name again? What can I tell them?"
Just say, "I am. I am. I am who I am."
"Eh?"
"Just tell them that I am has sent you."
"I don't quite follow."
"I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I don't describe myself nor define myself by human terms. I am him, the big yin, God, number one, chief, gaffer, he who must be obeyed. Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord, boss, take your pick. See what I mean? It's too hard to explain, but I am and you go. So go, now."
"Ah, but suppose Pharaoh doesn't accept that you sent me. What if the Hebrews don't believe it either? I look a right twit."
"Trust me. I'll bail you out with a miracle or two. I'll think of something or else a plague on all their houses."
"No, Lord, don't send me. Please, I beg you. I've never been a good public speaker. I don't have the gift of the gab, you see. Not like Aaron, my brother, for instance. Why don't you pick him instead? I'm sure he would make a much better spokesman. He could speak for Scotland, that guy, so he could."
"Hey, it's me who gives the gift when someone has the gift of the gab. I will make you as eloquent as you need to be. Anyway, I can't stand the way that Aaron rabbits on and on. But I'll tell you what I'll do. You take Brother Aaron along with you if it makes you happy. There now, I can't say fairer than that, can I?"
"Oh, God, gie's a break. Gonna no do that to me."
"Right, that's it. Stop your whining. You're a right moaning minnie. I'm not asking you, I'm telling you."
"You're not asking?"
"No, I'm telling."
Okay, I'm going. Here's a song by Ian White, Little Hebrew Babies, the story of Moses' life.
Little Hebrew babies, now old Joseph's gone. Born among Egyptians, but why are they so strong? Why are they so strong? Little Hebrew babies, they grow and grow and grow. Soon the king of Egypt says, "Now the boys must go. Now these boys must go." One little Hebrew baby, his mother is so brave. She hides him by the river in a basket warm and safe. In a basket warm and safe. Oh, see the little Hebrew baby. The princess cries with joy. "I'll take him to the palace. He'll be my little boy.
my little boy. Oh, little Hebrew baby, Moses is his name. Grows up in the palace and learns a leader's ways. Learns a leader's ways. One day he'll lead his people towards the promised land. Towards the promised land.
Our last sketch tonight then is the two thieves at Calvary talking across Jesus' head. And they crucified two thieves with Jesus, one on his right and the other on his left. And the left one said,
"If you are the Christ, why don't you save yourself and us?
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
That's a joke. He's nearly dead, and you think he can promise you life?
Well, I believe in him.
What's to believe? He's in the same pickle we're in.
Same circumstances. But he's innocent. We are guilty.
So what?
We are dying for our own mistakes. He's dying for other folks' sins, for us even.
More fool him.
Our deaths will be justice taking its course.
And his, an injustice, I suppose?
Yes, unjust for him. He is innocent. But it will fulfil justice, saving everyone else from having to be crucified.
He's not saving us getting crucified.
Not saving us from dying, but saving us for life after this death.
There is no life after death.
Well, we'll soon find out. See that man over there? That's Lazarus with his sisters Martha and Mary. He was dead for 4 days before Jesus brought him back to life. I was there, saw it myself.
Away.
And he's not the only one. See that broken-hearted teenager with her dad, Jairus? She died but was brought back to life by Jesus as well.
Well, maybe there's hope for us both yet, except he'll be dead himself, and who's going to raise him?
You don't get the point, do you? He is the giver of life, the creator, the controller of destinies, the one who gives us all life, and life after this life. He's divine.
He doesn't look very divine right now.
Look closer.
He's just a man.
More than just a man.
Look at his mother crying there. God doesn't have a mother.
He does if he comes to earth to be born as a baby boy.
God doesn't work as a joiner.
He does if he thinks things need fixing and needs him to come alongside folk in their daily life.
He is as bullied and buffeted as we are.
But look at the difference in him. He's on top of it.
He's just one of the local lads.
The local lads call him master and lord.
He's just a rebel.
A rebel with a cause.
He mixed with unsavoury characters.
That's a bit rich coming from you. He did change them, and they worshipped him for it.
He's hungry like us.
But he could feed 5,000 with just a picnic lunch.
He's thirsty.
He could change water into wine, gallons of it.
He's sinking fast.
He could walk on water and calm storms with a word of command.
He doesn't look like God.
But he sure acts like God. Listen to him forgiving them for nailing him to the cross.
He doesn't say much. They say he speaks in riddles anyway.
Not riddles, parables. You should have heard him preaching and teaching. His parables were amazing. The things he said were out of this world. No one ever spoke like him. He speaks with authority.
He's speaking now. He's saying he's finished.
Not he's finished. It is finished. His work is completed, accomplished.
What work?
Showing you that he loves you and forgives you and is by your side as you get crucified, that he'll see you safely through, so you too can be with him and me in paradise. Well, time's run out, Patricia, so thank you very much for helping me tonight.
My pleasure.
And we'll maybe do this again some other time. And we'll see everybody else back next week on Holy Half Hour. Bye for now. This is the Two Thieves song by Don Francisco.
'Cause he looked at me with eyes that seemed to reach into my heart. They shone a light on all my lies and tore my life apart. There was more that lay behind that gaze than simply blood and clay. But knowing was too much for me, I had to look away. But I chanced another look at him while he was looking down, where the soldiers who just crucified us drank there on the ground. And although he spoke them quietly, somehow his words came through. He said, "Father, please forgive them. They don't know what they do." And then, as if they'd heard him speaking, the crowd began to roar. Whipped to frenzy by the priests who urged them on to more. But the worse the accusations now, the plainer I could see the guilt of the accusers, not the one there next to me. But the man upon the other cross began to curse and swear, and his voice was filled with venom as he hurled it through the air. All the horror that was in him and had laid his life to waste came out in every syllable he flung in Jesus' face. And Jesus only looked at him, but something rose inside of me in spite of all that watched us there. It couldn't be denied, because his righteousness and innocence were shining bright and strong. I just couldn't keep my silence if that cursing still went on. I cried out, "Don't you fear the wrath of God, even at the end? He'll curse us both into the pit. Is that what you intend? We're only getting what we do. We've sinned our whole lives long. But don't you talk to him that way, 'cause he's done nothing wrong." And then, with all my courage, in a voice not quite my own, I asked him, "Lord, remember me when you come into your throne." He answered me, and even then his love was undisguised. He said, "Before the sun has set today, you'll be with me in paradise." The shouts and curses did not stop even when the sunlight ceased. But somehow in the midst of it, my soul had been released. And though the agony continued, it was still too small a price to be allowed to hear those words and to die beside the Christ.